Amen. Thank you, Pastor. Well, take the Word of God, if you would, please, and turn to Ephesians and the fourth chapter, Ephesians chapter number 4. And today we're going to look at lesson 10, lesson number 10 in your Striving Together book. God has never made a promise that was too good to be true. Isn't that a blessing to hear all the different promises that God has for us in His Word and has given to us in His Word? While you're turning, I'd like to ask you a question, and one that many people have pondered and thought about. What is the meaning of life? Many people will darken the doorsteps of an auditorium just like this one to find the answer to that question. Why are we here? Why do we exist? The meaning of life is to live until we die. But you do not truly begin to live until Christ lives in you and lives in me. Galatians chapter number 2, verse 20 says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Life is wonderful when Christ lives in you and you are living for Christ. Until you've believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, if you've confessed him with your mouth and believed in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead, until you've been born again, you ain't living. And let me encourage you, if you have not done that tonight, whether you're listening online or you're in this auditorium tonight, we have men and we have ladies with God's word in their hands and his love in their hearts that can show you from the word of God how you can know for sure that you are on your way to heaven. And this is the most important news that anyone can ever know, anyone can ever learn. It's the gospel. Christ lived, he died, was buried, and he came back to life. He rose up from the grave for you and for me so that we can know for sure that we're on our way to heaven. Ephesians chapter number 4 today. And today, I hope you would understand that the church is existing. We're striving together to declare the gospel to our neighbors and to the nations. It's been our prayer for months now that this church become a sending church. It's not just a building, it's a body. The ships are safe in the shallows, but that's not what boats were built for. And if you can't have a testimony if you've never had a test. And those who launch out in the deep don't have any stories. And must I be carried to the skies on flowery beds of ease whilst others fought to win the prize and sailed through bloody seas? Churches are not just to hear the gospel, they're to herald the gospel. The evangelized become the evangelists. And Jesus said, ye are the salt of the earth. If the salt had lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? Thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out, be trodden under foot of men. We are more than salt depositories, we are salt dispensaries. We're to give out the truth. The believer, living as he should, is going to create a curiosity in the hearts and minds of those who do not know Jesus Christ. Our language, our love, our lives will point to Christ if we are fully surrendered to God. The goal of the church is to move towards ministry and toward maturity. Striving toward maturity is the title of our lesson today, but look at verse 11 of Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4, verse 11. Inspired scripture reads, he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Verse 12, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Now, today's the Super Bowl. It's a sport. And everyone seems today, especially in America, to be really enraptured and excited about people lining up down the line of scrimmage on the gridiron, and you got the defensive teams and the quarterback making calls, and they're about ready to go. The Christian life is not a sport, it's a battle. But spiritual growth could be compared to a team sport. We're in this together. We're working together. It's not a solo act. And through this series of lessons, we've been discussing how we can strive together like those we read about in the pages of the New Testament. We're going to see today in one of the areas of the Christian life, we're called to strive together in this, and that is our individual maturity as believers. And Ephesians 4 teaches us, and we can discover in Ephesians 4, that not only does God want us to grow in spiritual maturity, but he intends to use us in each other's lives and along that journey of growth. And you can discern pretty quickly, if I can illustrate, the difference between a boy and a man. All you got to do is maybe look at his anatomy, and maybe from the way he talks and the way he conducts his business, the way he lives his life. Friend, you can notice right away if someone, a male, is a man or a boy by just the way he handles himself. And you'll listen to them speak. You'll test their physical strength maybe, and you'll know which of the two you're dealing with. Similar principles are going to apply in the area of spiritual maturity. There are differences between mature Christians and those that possess an underdeveloped or even stunted level of growth. And it's going to show. The Bible term for maturity is the word perfect. And that doesn't mean without flaw. We tend to use the word today like that, but it comes from the Greek word teleos, meaning fully developed, complete, full grown, or mature. This term, in one of its forms, is found 60 times in the New Testament, and two of those occasions are in the passage which we're going to study today, which is in verse 12 and verse 13, the perfecting of the saints in verse 12, and unto a perfect man in verse number 13. So as we study the heart of the book of Ephesians, or Ephesians chapter 4, we're going to look into these three principles of moving towards maturity, moving towards maturity. Roman numeral 1, if you're taking notes, maybe you have a pen and pad, and this will help you if you just take some notes today, or maybe you have the notebook. You can follow right along with that. From verses 7 to 12, we see the motivators toward maturity. The motivators toward maturity. Roman numeral 1. As Paul lays out the case for the Ephesian spiritual development, he's going to outline these three special resources that they each have been given, and that we also have been given. These resources would motivate them forward, to move forward for God in maturity. And letter A, we see, we have been given spiritual grace. Letter A, we've been given spiritual grace. Ephesians 4:7 reads, "But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ." Last week, we saw that the spiritual exercise of giving, along with other disciplines of the Christian life, giving is considered a grace. "Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and diligence in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also." We learned that Christian grace involves God's work within us. And after we receive his initial grace and salvation, Peter, described the grace of God as being an integral part of our ongoing growth. He said, "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." Letter B, we've been given spiritual gifts. Letter B, we've been given spiritual gifts. Various gifts have been explained and expanded upon. You'll read in a cursory reading of the Bible. Maybe you'll go over Romans chapter 12 and 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And these chapters will teach you about the various spiritual gifts that God has given to his church and to believers within the local church. But in Ephesians 4, we find Paul speaking of spiritual leaders, specifically pastors and teachers. And he describes them as gifts from God. Pastor Turner and his family, by the grace of God, they are gifts from God to our local church. Pastor Nathan Raver and his family, they are a gift from God
to our local church. And we thank the Lord for using the pastoral staff and using leaders in our community, and specifically spiritual leaders, for reaching me and my family, reaching you and your family. We are grateful for these gifts from God. Godly leaders who invest in our lives through their faithful labor are truly gifts from God. And Paul explained in the investment of one spiritual leader, and this friend was named Epaphras. Epaphras. E-P-A-P-H-R-A-S. Epaphras. Now, Epaphras was helping this church in Asia Minor, Colossae, from which we derive Colossians, of course. And notice that one of Epaphras' goals was that the members of the Colossian church there would stand perfect. They would stand perfect or mature. Colossians 4, verse 12. Maybe I'll read this for you. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, he saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand, what? Perfect and complete in all the will of God. For I bear him record that he hath a great zeal for you, a great passion to them and for them that are in Laodicea and them in Hierapolis. Letter C, we've been given a spiritual goal. A spiritual goal. Letter C, we've been given a spiritual goal. Now, if you miss any of these blanks, come to me after the service and, you know, we'll talk about it. Make sure you got all these squared away for yourself. As the saints are perfected or made mature, the results, according to verse 12, are that the work of the ministry is accomplished, and that the work of the ministry goes forward, and that the body of Christ is built up, that the body of Christ is edified. And God has a job for this church, which is to fulfill his purposes and to carry out the Great Commission, winning people to Christ and discipling them in the faith. The fulfillment of these goals will actually hinge on the maturing and the obedience of the saints, the obedience of me and the obedience of you. 1 Peter 4, verse 10 reads, as every man hath received the gift, God doesn't ask us not to do something that he hasn't already given us, or to do something impossible. He equips us and gives us the strength to do that. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. So he allows us, within the constraints of the ability he's given us, to go forth and do that which he desires us to do. Roman numeral 2, the measure of maturity. The measure of maturity. Roman numeral 2, the measure of maturity. And if we want to measure our progress, what yardstick should we use? What tool of measurement should we use? Should we use Pastor Turner? Should we maybe the neighbor across the street? Should we use Brother Blair or Brother Samar? Should we use Brother Nat Cruz? What do we use to measure our level of success? We shouldn't be using the guy down the street as our metric for I've arrived in the Christian life. And truly, no one arrives at the Christian life. The problem with comparing ourselves with those around ourselves, the scripture says it's not wise. And if we look at society, we'll find perhaps somebody who's doing life a lot better than we are. And we'll get discouraged. We'll get sad. We'll look within ourselves and we'll gloat and we'll have a pity party, and as Ron Hamilton talks about, the poochy lip disease. We'll have these things. And that's not good, to be discouraged by looking at other people and comparing ourselves among ourselves. It's not wise. And we can also look at another person and say, well, they're doing far worse than I am. And now the problem is we'll be lifted up in pride when this happens. And I don't want that for my life, and surely you do not either. Verse 13 provides two criteria for measuring spiritual maturity. Before I delve into that, let me read this verse to you that I touched upon just a couple of seconds ago. 2 Corinthians 10:12. We dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. It's not wise to compare ourselves among ourselves and to look at the celebrities and look at Hollywood and say, well, that person's rich and that one has arrived. That's not the way to go. And to look at the hobo down the street and compare ourselves among ourselves, that's not wise. So let's look at these two criteria real quick. Letter A, there should be unity with the saints. Unity with the saints. Unity, togetherness with the saints, with believers in Jesus Christ. Verse 13 begins with this goal, till we all come in the unity of the faith. God wants us to function with unity. He wants us to function with togetherness, all striving together toward the same goal. Carnal, immature Christians tend to create friction through complaints and gossip and bitterness, and by lifting themselves up and by intentionally being difficult to get along with. But spiritual growing Christians are enabled by God and able to infuse the grace of God into the relationships in their lives, and thereby creating unity. This whole curriculum is actually based upon this one verse here, Philippians 1:27, striving together, striving together. Only let your conversation, that is your lifestyle, as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, Paul speaking, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And if we're saved, then we have the mind of Christ, and we access his thoughts. How? By opening the Word of God. When we open the Bible, we open the mind of God. And we can find that God has much to say to us. And as you know, the Bible is the only book where every time you open it, the author speaks to you. The author speaks to me, and the author shows up. And isn't that a wonderful comfort to know? It ministers to the heart. And many times, isn't it funny? The thing that we need to hear the most is often the thing we want to hear the least. Letter B. There should be conformity to the Savior. Conformity to the Savior. Letter B, there should be conformity toward the Savior. Verse 13 continues, till we all come unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. We've talked about how we can never achieve or hope to attain until we get to heaven. We're not gonna have arrived at our final destination. The measuring tool for spiritual maturity is the person and the character of Jesus Christ. We're never going to measure up completely until we arrive in heaven and receive a glorified body and a glorified nature. And however, we can become more like him each and every day by surrendering to the Holy Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit, we're commanded. And we can be more and more like him each and every day. That's the true journey toward maturity. Romans 8:29, let me read this for you. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn positionally among many brethren. We are not to be conformed to this world, but we are to be conformed into the image of Jesus Christ. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, Romans 12:1 reads, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. That word reasonable in the Greek there means logical. You ought to. That's the reasonable thing to do. And the problem with the living sacrifice in my life is my tendency as a living sacrifice to crawl off the altar. Don't be a living sacrifice that crawls off the altar. When God speaks to you and says, you ought to do this, or when God speaks to me and he says, Kevin, you ought to do that, my first response should be, Lord, as you will. I'm going to do what you want me to do. Question here is, what mold am I being pressed into? What mold are you being pressed into? Is the culture of this world pressing into you its mold through media, through entertainment, and worldly influences? Are you allowing the Word of God, the Spirit of God, the circumstances of your life, and even other Christians to help you conform into the likeness of Jesus Christ? Not to conform in the image of Pastor Turner. We're not striving to be like Pastor Turner. We're striving to follow him as he follows Christ, and to follow what Jesus Christ has given us through his Holy Spirit in his word for us, so that we may strive together for the faith of the gospel, because this is the good news that's going to liberate the world from their shackles mental, emotional, spiritual, all their needs can be changed by Scripture, by God, and by His help. Roman numeral 3, wrapping up this evening. The marks of maturity, the marks of maturity. Roman numeral 3, the marks of maturity. If you look at verses 14 through 16, that's going to cover this final point here. If we're becoming more like Christ, what characteristics will and won't be present in our lives? And Paul is going to answer that sort of question in these final three verses of our study this evening. Letter A, there are three telling marks of immaturity. Let's watch out for these. Three telling marks of immaturity. Verse 14, Paul described what God's will wasn't for the Ephesian converts. Number one, under letter A, there are three telling marks of immaturity. Number one, unstable in devotion. Unstable in devotion. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. I heard a story about Vance Havner, a great preacher of yesteryear. He was on a train once, and there he met R.A. Torrey. And R.A. Torrey was another preacher, I suppose one of his contemporaries, but much older. And Vance Havner is walking through the train car, and he's a young man at this point, and he looks at R.A. Torrey and says, "Hey, I recognize you," and they get to strike up a conversation. Brother Havner looks over at R.A. Torrey, starts asking him about his life and where he should go as a young man and as a preacher. And he wasn't really sure about the direction of his life. He said, "Well, I might dabble a little bit in this and a little bit in that." And R.A. Torrey looked over him like, the way he told the story, like a saint right out of the Old Testament. Those piercing eyes. He said, "Young man, make up your mind on one thing and stick with it. Stay with it. Make up your mind on one thing and stay with it." A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Immature Christians are easily blown off course, sidetracked from growth, and tripped up in their forward progress. This isn't God's will. It's dangerous for the one who's not striving together toward maturity. And Pastor James of the First Baptist Church of Jerusalem wanted to take some good advice here and say, "Hey, believers, beloved, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways." Number two, unsure of doctrine. This is an immature believer. This is what I'm striving not to be. Lord, helping me. Unsure of doctrine. Number two, unsure of doctrine. There's a reason that the Great Commission includes the final instruction of teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. Now we ought to be teaching and reaching. We've got to be teaching the truth, but we've got to be reaching out to our community. If we're teaching the truth without reaching out to our community, we're not effective. If we're reaching out to our community, but we're not teaching the truth, we're not effective. We need to be teaching and reaching, and we need to know what we believe and why. We need to know why we believe this. And the Lord Jesus knew that new converts, not for the sake of, lining the prophets of the church and trying to make a name for ourselves and saying, "Wow, Anchor Baptist Church is the best church in Burnaby." No, that's not the goal. The new converts must be grounded in the teachings of the Word of God to help them and to protect them from the false teachers who would wait in the wings to deceive. All you got to do is go on the internet and hop onto YouTube, and you can get a lot of teaching that won't help you and that won't help me. You got to know why you believe what you believe. I need to know doctrine, good doctrine from the Word of God. Number three, unable to discern. God wants His children to be able to discern. Number three, unable to discern. The one who doesn't grow is unable to discern both good and evil. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised. The key word there is exercised. We got to exercise our senses so that we can discern between both good and evil. We got to keep working at it. This is a daily process. It doesn't happen overnight. I don't become a super Christian overnight. And really, no one's a super Christian. David wasn't a super Christian. Daniel wasn't a super Christian. As a matter of fact, there are no big sheep and little sheep. There's just sheep. And we're all following the shepherd. So let's follow the shepherd as we strive together toward maturity. Instead of being unstable in disposition, unsure of doctrine, and unable to discern, God's plan is that we would drive deep roots into our relationship with Christ and in his word. Colossians 2, verse 6 and verse 8, as he has therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord. Think of our theme, received Christ Jesus the Lord. So walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy, vain deceit, after the tradition of man, after the rudiments of the world, not after Christ. Letter B. There are three triumphant marks of maturity. Wrapping up here. Three triumphant marks of maturity. Number one, communication that's meaningful. Communication that's meaningful. Number one, communication that's meaningful. Mature Christians are unafraid to speak the truth. At the same time, Colossians chapter number 4, verse 6 says, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. Consider it meaningful communication. Communication that's meaningful. Number two, a Christ-centered mindset. A Christ-centered mindset. Verse 15 speaks of Christ as affecting all things, which is the head, and mature Christians place Jesus Christ at the center of their lives so that everything else or everything in their lives revolves around him. He's not just at the top of the list, he's at the center of their lives. And he's like at the hub of a wheel where the spokes of life connect and extend. Jesus Christ touches and changes every area of their life. Colossians 1:18, and he is the head of the body of the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. He doesn't just want to be prominent, my friend. He wants to be preeminent. He wants to be first place. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Number three, a contribution to the members. Number three, a contribution to the members. That's letter B, maturity. Number one, communication that's meaningful. Number two, a Christ-centered mindset. Number three, a contribution to the members. A contribution to the members. And verse 16 teaches that we're connected just like a human body and that we're interdependent. We're interdependent with each other. As 1 Corinthians 12 teaches, and we are to each contribute to the health and growth of this local assembly of Anchor Baptist Church. The eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee. The head can't say to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. There are five principles of the body from Ephesians 4:16. I'll breeze right through this. There's a principle of addition, of variation, contribution, expansion, and devotion. Now listen, the whole body fitly joined together, that's addition. The principle of variation, every joint supplieth. We're all different. We're all going to supply something different. That's variation. Contribution, working in the measure of every part. Every part working and contributing together to make something happen in the work of God, to ensure that the Lord of the Word, or the work of the Lord, is always advancing. Expansion, increase of the body, which move onward and upward for Jesus Christ. And devotion, edifying, that's building up, edifying of itself in love. Devotion. How's my devotion tonight? How's your devotion tonight? May we be devoted to Christ. Are you growing spiritually? That's the question for me today. That's the question for you. What's standing between me and the maturity that God has called me to and that Christ has modeled for you and for me? Why not determine today to lay aside every immature characteristic that stands in between you and Jesus Christ? What am I doing to help others grow spiritually? We're to strive together in helping our brothers and sisters to grow. Who can you encourage this week? Who can you help along the way of spiritual development? Together, we can be the grounded believers that we ought to be. We ought to be difference makers. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. In the same way you received Christ, walk in the same way. I'm going to go down the straight and narrow, the old S&M, going right down,
straight down the line, never deviating. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving.